Chapter 24. My brother was murdered. On Friday morning, Frankie's car stopped outside the station hotel at Ambledever. She had sent a telegram to Bobby, telling him that she would have to attend the inquest on Henry Bassington French and would stop and see him on the way down from London. She had expected a telegram in reply, but nothing had come.
"Yes, miss," said the hotel receptionist. "Mr. Jones came here on Wednesday evening. He left his bag and said he mightn't be in till late. He hasn't been back."
Frankie felt sick. "Did he leave any message?" The man shook his head.
"Anything I can do, miss?"
Frankie shook her head. She must have time to think about what to do next. The inquest took place at Merriway Court. Roger was there, and Sylvia, looking very beautiful in her black suit. The verdict was suicide while of unsound mind, just as the verdict in John Savage's death had been. Two suicides while of unsound mind, thought Frankie. Could there be a connection? Frankie and Dr. Nicholson stayed behind after everyone else left.
"I think there are some letters for you, Frankie dear," said Sylvia. "You won't mind if I leave you and go and lie down, will you? It's been so awful."
She shivered and left the room.
"That went very well," Dr. Nicholson said. "We are lucky that Dr. Davidson was our coroner."
"I suppose so," said Frankie.
"It makes a lot of difference, Lady Frances. The coroner can make things as easy or as difficult as he pleases. In this case, everything went perfectly."
"A good stage performance, in fact," said Frankie in a hard voice.
Nicholson looked at her in surprise.
"I know what Lady Frances is thinking," said Roger. "My brother was murdered, Dr. Nicholson. The criminals who made my brother a slave to drugs murdered him, just as if they had shot him."
Roger's angry eyes looked straight into the doctor's.
"Somehow, I mean to make them pay for that."
Dr. Nicholson shook his head sadly.
"I agree with you, Mr. Bassington French. It is a terrible crime to persuade a man to take drugs."
He turned to Frankie.
"You came down by car, Lady Frances? No accidents this time?"
"No," she said. "I think it's a pity to have too many accidents, don't you?"
His eyebrows rose.
"Perhaps your chauffeur drove you this time?"
"My chauffeur," said Frankie, "has disappeared. He was last known to be heading for the Grange."
"Really?"
Nicholson's voice sounded amused.
"I can't believe it. Possibly you are paying too much attention to local gossip. It is very unreliable. I even heard a story that my wife and your chauffeur had been seen talking together down by the river, Lady Frances."
"Is that his plan?" thought Frankie. "Is he going to pretend that his wife has gone away with my chauffeur?"
Nicholson turned to Roger.
"I must be going. Believe me, all my sympathies are with you and Mrs. Bassington French."
Roger went out into the hall with him. Frankie followed. On the hall table were a couple of letters addressed to her. One was from her father. The other was in Bobby's handwriting. She tore it open.
"Dear Frankie, follow me as soon as possible to Chipping Somerton. Come by train. The Bentley is too noticeable. Come to a house called Tudor Cottage. I've put instructions on how to get there below. Don't tell anyone at all. Yours ever, Bobby." Nothing terrible had happened to Bobby, and he was going to the place she had intended them to go to together. Because she had been to Somerset House to look up the will of John Savage, and in it, Mrs. Templeton, Rose Templeton, was said to be the wife of Edgar Templeton of Tudor Cottage, Chipping Somerton. They were reaching the end of the play. It was getting dark and just beginning to rain when Frankie's train arrived at the little station of Chipping Somerton. Frankie buttoned her coat to her neck and set off. She saw the lights of the village ahead, and following the instructions Bobby had sent, turned left onto a narrow road that went uphill. At the top, she took the right-hand path and soon saw the pine trees Bobby had described. Finally, she came to a gate and, lighting a match, saw Tudor Cottage written on it. Her heart began beating a little faster when she saw the door open and a figure in a chauffeur's uniform look cautiously out. Bobby. He waved his hand for her to come and then went back inside. Frankie came up to the door. Everything was dark and silent.
Bobby?
She whispered as she stepped inside. Strong arms grabbed her, and a wet cloth was put over her mouth. The smell of chloroform filled her nose. She fought desperately, twisting and turning. Then everything went black.